It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling, without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to dirtylabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.
Well, good afternoon. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. It is my understanding that the Odyssey app is back up and running. It was actually a nationwide issue if you were having some problems with it earlier today. My understanding is that the Odyssey app is back up and running. Coming up at sometime in the 4 o'clock hour, the schedule is moving around a little bit. You'll hear from J.J. Piccolo as he met with the media earlier today in preparation for Jack Caglione's first start here at Kauffman Stadium. We also will be joined on location by Josh Vernier. He will also join us here. We are live outside Kauffman Stadium, directly looking at GEHA Field at Arrowhead, getting you ready for Jack Caglione, who is set to make his Kauffman Stadium debut. You can actually keep up with the game a couple of different ways. One is right here on 96.5 The Fan. The game will also be on TBS, and the game will also be on the FanDuel Sports Network. So certainly no shortage of coverage for Royals and Yankees. All right, I had this idea, and I want to get you guys' thoughts. And this idea spawned from a conversation that Dayton Moore had with Eric Hosmer about a month or so ago. He was on Eric Hosmer's podcast, he meaning Dayton Moore, and he told a story about a potential trade. Hit it, JT. So that was the audio from Dayton Moore telling us that he got a call from the general manager of the Astros and said they were interested in trading Jose Altuve for Eric Hosmer. We obviously know how that worked out, and I would say it worked out pretty well for both sides. And also what made me think of this was we had Denny Matthews on the show a couple of days ago, and Denny Matthews said this about Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge.
That was more important to his team than Aaron Judge was. Aaron Judge was surrounded by a little different talent, and of course the scope of playing in New York is always a factor, and that's going to weigh in on how you do in the postseason awards. But no, Aaron Judge is an excellent, excellent baseball player. Bobby Witt has more natural talent, if you want to break down their physical attributes, but Aaron Judge, yeah, I'd take him on my team.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say that tomorrow J.J. Piccolo gets a call. It's Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman's like, hey, how you doing? It's been a long time since we talked. And he said, you know what? I really like Bobby Witt Jr. What if we did a straight-up trade Aaron Judge for Bobby Witt Jr.? Do you think J.J. Piccolo says no?
I think he says yes, but I think he's going to hesitate for a moment. And part of that's because of Aaron Judge's age. Like, Aaron Judge, I'm looking up here, is 33 years old. So I think he probably hesitates, leans yes, but I don't think saying no is crazy because Aaron Judge has, what, 10, 9, 8 years of elder on Bobby Witt where, yeah, Aaron Judge right now is awesome. And Aaron Judge will be awesome for another chunk of time. But Bobby will be awesome far longer in Major League Baseball just because of, you know, his age than Aaron Judge is. But I think he would take the deal, but I think you would hear hesitation in his voice.
It's crazy because in this hypothetical, can you say no if Aaron Judge is available? Like, don't the Royals have the one player, I guess other than Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
There's two players in baseball that would make you be like, I mean, there's a lot of great players in Major League Baseball. If you get that call from Brian Cashman, it is not even a thought. Yes. Who do you want? Paul Skeens? Who do you want? Roman? You tell me who you want, and we will give him to you. Yes, we want Aaron Judge on our team. I just was sitting there, and I was thinking. I was like, I don't know if J.J. Piccolo makes that trade for everything that you're saying. I'm not 100% sure if Brian Cashman called the Royals tomorrow and said, you know what? We really like Bobby Witt Jr. We will give you Aaron Judge. I'm not sure if the Royals are like, yeah, absolutely, we'll take it. I think it's a chance that they take that trade, and I think you're right. There's certainly a lot of reasons to say yes, very obvious reasons to say yes. I also can give you maybe as many equal reasons to say no in that trade. Age, positional value, I think really matters in this. I think there's reasons why you would say no and you would turn down Aaron Judge, which is crazy right now for a player who is having the season that Aaron Judge is having. It's funny because, honestly, this might be the best offensive season that we've seen a baseball player have since Barry Bonds. He has 23 home runs, 55 RBIs. He's hitting .396 with a .493 on base percentage. He gets on base almost 50% of the time he comes up to the plate. This is Barry Bonds kinds of numbers. That's what we're talking about. Barry Bonds kinds of numbers that he is putting up right now. And sure, you'll mention the short porch at Yankee Stadium. I mean, I can give you his away numbers. He's pretty amazing when he's outside of Yankee Stadium, too. This is the best offensive player on the planet.
Let me ask you a question and take your question a step further. Because you're right. I think JJ has a true 50-50. And you're right. I think almost every other GM in America, it's a yes, hangs up the phone and has a celebration, calls the team owner down, be like, guess what we just got? I think almost every team in town takes that, in the world takes a deal, maybe except the Royals. Do you think there's a player in Major League Baseball now the Royals would take a one-on-one trade for Bobby Witt for? And that's not saying Bobby Witt's the best player in baseball, but you take all the factors you just laid out, positional value, his age, his contract, all the factors, put it all into a big pot. Do you think there is a singular player that GM called J.J. Piccolo and said, I want a one-off trade. This player for Bobby Witt, the Royals say yes. And I'm talking about Paul Skeens.
Shohei's
the only one I could think
Shohei.
Of. Yeah,
Shohei. In that situation, I understand.
And he's unique because of pitches, yeah.
I understand the age difference. If you're telling me the Royals could have got Shohei Ohtani, I'd be like looking at you like, hey, I like Bobby too. Bobby got to go. I don't know what to tell you. Bobby got to go. This is the thing. Text line 913-586-7965. Someone said Judge hits 20 less home runs in Kansas City. I'm not entirely sure if that's the case. Last year in away games, so he played 80 away games last year. Aaron Judge hit 27 home runs with 73 RBIs. He hit .316 with a .439 on base percentage. That's just in road games last year. That's Aaron Judge playing in 80 games last season, not at Yankee Stadium, not at the short porch. He has 27 home runs and 73 RBI. He was Vinny Pasquantino's power numbers in 50 games last season. That's not counting you ever. And I mean, he played 78 home games last year. Oh, yeah, in those games, he had 31 home runs and hit .330 at Yankee Stadium last year. I'm saying we are talking about – now, he's not Barry Bonds. Don't get me wrong.
No.
He's not Barry Bonds.
It's the numbers – I mean, Barry Bonds is a freak. But the numbers do indicate – that OBP is just – it's stacked. He's never out. 50% of the time, he finds himself on base somehow. That's an astonishing stat.
I think the Royals are better this season if they have Judge and not Bobby Witt Jr.
I think for this season, yeah.
Yeah, but right now,
that's because of the giant hole the Royals have in the outfield, though. Just and you could probably piece together a shortstop better.
And also, I mean, if you were telling me that the Royals, I mean, we all love Bobby Witt Jr. We're talking about adding the best offensive player in baseball right now to that offense.
That's true.
If you were talking about that, Aaron Judge is worth 5 more wins right now to this team. Just with some of the offensive issues that they have on this team, if you were adding the hands and away best offensive player in baseball, they are the 2025 Royals are better if you did a straight-up trade. Now, I don't know if that's the case in 2026, 2027, and beyond, and you're right. The club control that you have for Bobby Witt Jr., and it's usually bad business to trade a 25-year-old for a 33-year-old. That's usually not the way that you want to do business. But the Royals are definitely better for this individual season if they made that trade.
I think it's for the one season. And you said that what does a trade do? So I just looked it up for fun. Bobby this year, Bobby's war this year is 3. So they would, based on the advanced numbers, and if you are into this stat, wins above replacement, if you're into those sorts of statistics, they say that right now Aaron Judge gives any team he's on versus Bobby Witt like another win and a half per season. I think you're right. I think it would be more in Kansas City specifically. I do think it's a 2025 question, because if you're telling me, hey, it's both players and their contracts, I don't want Aaron Judge at 34 wandering around right field. That's going to look like Lance Berkman wandering around at Busch Stadium. It's not going to be visually pleasing. But for 2025, I think the Royals' ills will be fixed by a one-for-one swap.
All right, coming up on the other side, J.J. Piccolo met with the media. We'll try to see if we can hear from him. We're also expected to be joined on location by Josh Vernier. Vern is going to be on the show coming up. We'll get you ready for Jack Caglione Day at Kauffman Stadium. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. It's a lot of people that have been coming by to say hello. I want to say a shout-out to Anthony. He's turning 20 years old today.
Oh, damn.
He and his friends came out to Kauffman Stadium to see Jack Caglione Day at the K. Let me ask you this. Is 20 an important birthday? We got Vern joining us right now on location.
No. It's...
You only got, like, a handful of important birthdays left after 20.
You 21, 25, and that's it.
30 and 40 matter.
Well, they matter if you allow them to matter. But to me, once I turn 25, I've been that person really since.
50 might also matter, too. I would say, like, once you get past 20.
Only if you care about it. I mean, you don't seem like a guy that's, oh, now I'm 30.
But 30 did actually hit me. Like, when it was, I was kind of like that before the day. But then when I got there, you do start to have those, man, am I like.
You're not young anymore.
You start to have those moments of, like, self-reflection. Am I doing what I want to do in my life? Am I happy? Am I where am I? Like, you start having those thoughts. Now, I will say, I am already starting to anticipate the things that I want to do for my 40th birthday. 40 just feels like a birthday that you have to care about. So I would say if you're 20, you have, like, four more. No one cares when you turn 26.
I'm just realizing that I've already turned 40. This entire conversation, it hadn't really dawned on me that, yeah, that already happened for me. I don't even know what I did for my – oh, yes, I do. I went to the – yeah, I turned – how old am I? 83, 42. Okay, so I guess that was my 41st birthday I went to. No, 40th birthday I went to Michigan, Ohio State. So you're right.
Okay.
You do have to do something big for your 40th.
Yeah, you do have to do something very, very special for the 40th.
Are you like me where you just lose track of how old you are?
No.
Like, unless someone brings it up, I have no clue. I know I've passed 40, the second number it's anyone's guess.
Yeah, no, I have not lost track of my birthday. I am 36 years old. I'm 36 years old. So I'm almost
there. You look good, dog.
I got 4 years until I get to 40. We got Josh Vernier joining us here on location. Vern, I don't get here early very often.
Yeah.
Like, I really can't get here early very often. This feels like it's a lot more people than it usually is for a Royals game. It's a lot of people, like, walking around and
people wearing
Royals and people wearing Yankees. Like, if you want an indication that it could be a decent crowd today, I feel like I'm seeing some of it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I was expecting more at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, we'll see what the walk-up number is, but I know the expectation coming into the day, 27. So we'll see what kind of walk-up there is. Honestly, there's not a better ticket in all of Major League Baseball than this game tonight. The pitching matchup is outstanding. St. Joseph's going to have their convoy heading down to Kauffman Stadium to support their boy, Noah Cameron. Obviously, the Jack Caglione angle. But then the two best baseball players on the planet meeting up exactly 8 months after one of them knocked the other one out of the postseason. Again, it's the New York Yankees, right? I think your most hated rival. Add it all up, and I don't think there should be a spot to move in this place tonight.
I don't want to oversell it. I understand that opening day is its own beast. If you were telling me for the rest of the year that you could only give free tickets to one game, I think this is the one to pick. I think this is the one to pick.
The weather's perfect.
You just factor in everything. Yankees, Royals, dollar hot dogs, Jack Caglione day, pitching matchup, nationally televised audience, weather is absolutely perfect. Like, yeah, they might have a more
Salvi's at first. He might throw you a ball. Bobby's out there. Judge is out there. I mean, even if the only way a game gets bigger than this one, C-Dot, because even with Shohei coming here, Shohei, Mookie, Freddie, that's going to be nice, but that's not going to be Cags' debut. The only way you top today's game is if the playoffs are on the line in game 162 or whatever the final home game is of the season, if there's something with October on the line. That's the only way you get bigger than this one today.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really know if they're going to have too many games that feel bigger than this one. It just really does feel like the perfect kind of intersection of everything. We talked about this throughout the week. The Royals just haven't had many regular season games like this in the last decade or so, like since the run ended. Sure, they have days where it's like Big Slick Day or they have a promotion or something like that. And, yeah, people want to go to the park. But today, I mean, yeah, sure, dollar hot dogs are a promotion, but we're not talking about them giving away Eric Hosmer bobblehead dolls or the Patrick Mahomes bobblehead. Like, if you were coming out here today, you're coming out here today for the baseball. You're coming out here to celebrate one of the most heralded prospects in all of Major League Baseball. They just haven't had many days like this in the last decade.
I moved here in 2012. To me, this is the biggest type of those games that I've been a part of. I wasn't here for Haas's home debut. I wasn't here for Gordo's home opener. Bobby's big league debut was on opening day, and the weather was awful, and the game was awful. Everything about it was bad other than Bob coming through with the game-winning RBI. So that's, 13 years. To me, this is the biggest Tuesday night game in 13 years, the biggest midweek game that we've seen at Kauffman Stadium in my time since I've been here.
What did you see from Jack Caglione in his first handful of games?
I mean, everything you had hoped to see. Maybe some wanted home runs, but you see the type of aggressive swings that he's taking. There's nothing passive about Caglione. There's nothing that seems intimidated by the surroundings. He looks like a big leaguer in every single aspect. When you're watching him move around the clubhouse, move around the diamond before the game, getting his work in before batting practice, the way that he interacts with his teammates, his body language during the games. Right, we've already seen the athleticism out in right field. He's not letting himself get exploited by opposing pitchers, meaning he's not sitting in there waiting. Okay, let me get a feel for this guy. No, he's up there, first pitch hacking. If you're going to put it across the dish, I'm going to send it your way with a pretty impressive exit velo. So, to me, the only people that were disappointed with his series in St. Louis or even the first two games in Chicago were people that weren't watching, because watching the young man is, to me, solidifying all of the belief that you had that he can come alongside Bobby Witt Jr. and those two will be the, Mahomes and Kelsey of the next 5 to 10 years in Kansas City.
I do feel like Sunday was important, and I understand it's one baseball game and we're talking about in the course of a career, but you and I know how Royals fans operate. And the fact that he is coming into Kauffman hitting 240, coming off hitting four, having four hits in his last game, there does feel like the buzz and excitement that you and I think should be here, there's no reason for it not to be here. He showed you everything you needed to see in his first road trip. He had an RBI double to help you win a game. He had four hits on Sunday. You should be excited. You should want to come out to the ballpark today.
I think the win also played a big role into that feeling as well. If they don't win that game on Sunday, even with a 4-for-4 from Jack Caglione, I do think that some of the, maybe not the excitement for Cags himself, but the, all right, he's already come to the plate once. It's now the fourth inning. We're starting to get nervous that this is going to be a fourth straight loss, that we're going to be swept by the New York Yankees. The woe is us attitude, which for this season with this offense, the worst offense in Major League Baseball when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position, you know, Royals fans would have come upon that skepticism rightly. But because they were able to squeak out that win, shockingly squeak out that win with that bumpy ninth inning, but because they were able to get that win, coupled with the fact that, yeah, Jack now has six hits in six games, we've seen the power, we've seen the exit velo, we've seen him make plays in right field. Now, there can be some Royals fans out there, if he goes through this Yankees series and we don't see him hit a home run, maybe there'll be individuals that are pressing about his lack of a big fly yet to hit that first big league home run, but I don't think that's going to be palpable. Had he not picked up those four knocks, if he didn't have a hit on Sunday, if the Royals didn't win on Sunday, I think you'd be able to feel that once the game got started when you saw Cags to the plate for the second, third, fourth time tonight. I think there would be an air of nervousness, anxiety, and what's to come? Are we about to blow this thing?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a popular home run play today. I haven't seen the full like FanDuel numbers. You know they do the Tuesday promotion for guys to hit home runs.
He's hitting seventh.
He's also 10-1 to hit a home run today.
Yeah, that seems like a – well, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. It seems like a sucker bet going up against Max Fried.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's why, at least for me today, today's not the day to bet the home run. Tomorrow or Thursday, if you want to bet him to hit the home run, going up against – probably the second-best pitcher in the American League behind Tarik Skubal for the Tigers.
Yep.
I'm just not betting my rookie to hit a home run in that game. I'll find better value. I'll find a better day for him to get his first home run.
I will note MJ Melendez did take him deep at Yankee Stadium, but that was also Max Fried just feeling himself. The book was don't throw MJ a fastball. Fried did. He paid for it, and then no one threw MJ a fastball again.
Then we haven't seen MJ Melendez since.
Shout out, MJ.
Yeah, we haven't seen him since. We got Bird joining us right now in studio. Is it not crazy that you and I are sitting here? We've been talking about this for 8 minutes or so. We haven't mentioned the American League MVP from last year.
Right.
We haven't mentioned maybe the best shortstop in the world and the player that came in second in the MVP voting.
Right.
It does feel like today is about one person. I mean, Noah Cameron is off to an incredible start. We'll talk about him. Maybe the second best pitcher in the world is pitching in this game. Today is about one individual and how he performs in a game full of superstars and potential superstars. Caglione is he is the story today. He's why a lot of people are coming out to the park.
He's the story for people listening, right? He's the story for Royals fans, Kansas City sports fans. He's the story. But if you zoom out, the reason why TBS and Jeff Francoeur, the reason why national media is going to be here for the next three games is exactly what you said. Max Fried going opposite, well, Max Fried on the hill, Aaron Judge going opposite Bobby Witt Jr., and the rivalry that is Royals v. Yankees. That's why, again, this is the best ticket in all of Major League Baseball. You know, but if you ask a Royals fan from St. Joe, you know, Noah Cameron might be the reason why you make the drive. If you ask most Royals fans, yes, it's Jack Caglione. But if you ask someone outside of Kansas City, why are you tuning in tonight to TBS? It's Bob, it's Aaron Judge. And, man, I got to pass this statistic across. Aaron Judge, his adjusted OPS. Now, that's, you know, OPS, but it's adjusted because of the, you know, ballpark you play in. It does a real good job of balancing the numbers depending on ballpark and scoring climate so you can compare generations. It's great. League average is 100. Bobby Witt Jr.'s adjusted OPS is 135. So that means he's 35% better than the average big league hitter. Aaron Judge has an adjusted OPS of 250. So Aaron Judge is basically Bobby Witt Jr., and Vinny Pasquantino combined into one hitter. Bobby's is 135, Vinny's is 115, so it statistically, Aaron Judge is as good of a hitter as Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino combined. Those are the two best hitters on the Royals team. The Yankees have them just taking up one spot in their lineup. That dude is unbelievable. I mean, it's not even a conversation this season, right now at least, of the American League MVP.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's very close. We were talking about this earlier right before you got here. I think the Judge right now is putting together the best offensive season that we've seen since Barry Bonds.
Sure.
Like, if you go back and look at some of those Barry Bonds numbers in the early 2000s, like, they are video game numbers.
Yep.
Aaron Judge is hitting almost 400, and we're past Memorial Day. Like, we are into the summer now. He's almost hitting 400. He gets on base almost 50% of the time. Like, we are seeing one of those offensive seasons that people are going to measure it up against the way that we use Barry Bonds, the way that we use some of the great players from the 90s and 2000s.
And he posts. He's hitting .396, and he's played every single game. You know, the same reason that Bobby Witt Jr., in my opinion, is the best player on the planet. That's the same reason why right now Aaron Judge is, yes, the best hitter, but also the runaway American League MVP, because he's doing it while also running around in the outfield on a nightly basis and answering the bell every single day with the weight of really the sport on his shoulders when you're wearing those pinstripes and you are the face of the league and the face of really American baseball moving forward. To do all of that with that kind of weight, I mean, Barry Bonds didn't have that. San Francisco was never going to turn on Barry Bonds, no matter what he did. The Yankees booed Aaron Judge, you know, a handful of weeks ago. You know, this was a guy that was a villain in the World Series a season ago for Yankees fans. San Francisco would do anything for Barry Bonds. I mean, they lied to themselves about Barry Bonds for decades, and Aaron Judge doesn't get that type of a leash from Yankees fans or baseball fans, and he doesn't need it because, like you mentioned, the dude's unparalleled.
Right now we're joined on location by Josh Verner. We are outside of Gate D at Kauffman Stadium for Jack Caglione Day as he is set to make his Kauffman Stadium debut. Someone on the text line wants to know, do you think Royals fans are going to boo Jazz Chisholm tonight?
I do. I haven't brought it. The only time I've thought about it, I've heard Jake Eisenberg bring it up a few times on the broadcasts. Outside of that, to me, that's honestly the guy I would have a bigger issue with if I'm a Royal. Maybe not if I'm a Royals fan because you guys got caught up on social media. I love Jazz Chisholm. The guy you should have an issue with is Anthony Volpe. Do you remember him and Michael Garcia's little dust-up at second base and Volpe kept patting him on the back like he was trying to sun him? Volpe's the guy that you guys should be going after. But no, yeah, I expect people to be upset with Jazz Chisholm. I don't really understand why.
You know what? I like the fact that I like when everybody's like sports angst is directed at one person.
Sure.
You know, I like that. That's when it makes it very fun. I told you this story before. I was at, it was like the Royals. They were playing the Astros, and they were just booing Jose Altuve, and I forgot all about it. I was like, man, everybody's booing him. He's like, yeah. The cheating. I was like, oh, yeah. Then I started booing. I had no issues with Jose Altuve before then, but if everybody else is booing, I want to boo too.
No, but it's because you're a good fan. Now, one of my favorite things about back when I could be a fan was calling guys bums. You know, as long as you're not taking shots at their fan, I mean, I'll never forget hollering at Miguel Tejada, you're a bum, Tejada. And then him turn it around and hit me with a glare. Now that's the back and forth. You feel like you're a part of the game. That's the beauty of baseball.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't know if bum. I mean, bum, I'm with you. Bum is just like such a baseball thing. I don't even know if you get an outfielder's reaction by calling him a bum. You call him a loser. Hey, you're a loser. That guy's turning around.
That's a good one.
That guy's 100% turning around. Where bum and loser, they feel like they're synonyms. No, it's something different. A guy comes up to you and calls you a loser. You feel a way about that.
That's a classic CDOT observation, and yeah, it's I cannot argue it. You're right. That would get a reaction, but it's both of them, loser, bum, both good in my book.
If I set the over-under right now on Royals All-Stars at 2.5, are you taking the over or the under?
Over. Bobby, to me, is an automatic for the next decade. Bubich, Musco. And if Lucas Erceg, who's going to be back tomorrow in the bullpen, if Lucas Erceg can finish this next month strong, I think he'll have a pretty good case. And if not him, a Carlos Estevez, who might lead the American League in saves. So I think they get a starter, Bobby, and a reliever. So I'll take the over. I got an over-under for you. Jack Caglione's first home run, over-under 419.5 feet.
That's a great question. I'm going to take the over. It just feels like he just seems like one of those guys that just, like, everything works out for. Like, his first home run isn't going to be, like, 335, and it's like, oh, it barely went over the fence. Like, when he hits a home run, it's going to be one of the ones, like, we remember, we talk about, hey, I was there when Jack Caglione hit his first home run. I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, I'm with you. To me, he's got that Bobby aspect to him where they rise to the moment. We saw it in St. Louis. The dude did not look intimidated, did not look, oh, my God, can you believe a third deck? I'm in a big league stadium. That's how Bobby was. I'll never forget. Bobby, after his big league debut, said, I thought I'd be more nervous. You know, he was always amazed at how he never was nervous. Even in the postseason, I think Jack Caglione's cut from the same cloth.
Do you think Noah Cameron's getting enough national conversation? Because it's funny, like, I mean, Noah Cameron, why is he not the favorite to win American League Rookie of the Year? Like, when you have this kind of start.
Or at least higher. That Jack Wilson, or Jacob Wilson's, Jack's kid, out in Oakland, you know, hitting like 370. So he should be the front runner. But you're right about Noah Cameron, because, again, the last time we saw someone do something like this was Fernando Valenzuela back in 1981. And if anybody remembers that, that was a national story. Fernando was a national star. Now, baseball has changed a lot. It's very difficult for anybody in the sport to become the story around, American sports. Judge has done it. Shohei continues to do it. Outside of that, it's really hard to find someone to penetrate the football-obsessed sports fan that is in the United States. But, five starts, five quality starts. He's yet to allow more than an earned run in any of those five starts. And, you know, Fernando's big thing was with all of the Mexican-Americans down in Southern California, you know, it was. And, of course, there are great documentaries about it, but it was a hometown kid makes good, and that's exactly what we have here. So I think the Royals need to win more games before Noah Cameron's going to ascend to that type of attention. The Royals right now, just two games above 500. We're not going to introduce you to a guy you've never heard of. Detroit, yeah. If Noah Cameron's pitching for the Tigers, they'll try to slow play him into the national spotlight because they know this Tigers team is good. The jury's still out on the Royals.
You know what I'm going to start? We're going to start a new tradition whenever you come on the show. I'm going to randomly, at least between now and the All-Star game, I'm going to randomly just read you an All-Star team for the past.
Love it. This is
the 2000 National League All-Stars.
Okay.
We did this yesterday on the show. Listen to this. This is an incredible team. They had Mike Piazza was the catcher. Mark McGwire at first base, Jeff Kent at second base, Chipper Jones at third, Barry Larkin at shortstop.
It's all MVPs.
The outfield, Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., and Sammy Sosa. That was the 2000s National League All-Star roster. What a team.
I don't know if Piazza ever – who was at first? McGwire. I don't think McGwire – I'm trying to think if everybody on that team won an MVP.
That's an incredible team.
That is an incredible team.
They lost that day, too, by the way, to the American League. Think about how amazing that team was. They only scored three runs. They lost.
Sure. But 2000, so they're probably going up against Pedro. I don't know if Pedro's starting that game, but 99-2000 was kind of the era of Pedro. 99 is when he went through the guys at the top of the lineup, right? He went through Sosa and McGwire and Larry Walker. No, man, that's... But you know what? I mean, as you read that, we're getting ready for a game where three of these guys are going to the Hall of Fame. You know, Judge, we know. Salvi, we really believe. And Bobby's certainly on that highway. Max Fried, you look at his postseason success in Atlanta. If he can win a ring with Atlanta, or excuse me, if he can win a ring with the Yankees, you know, that always helps. We could be watching four Hall of Famers in this game tonight to where, you know, 20 years from now, we're looking at the lineup for this year's All-Star game. And all right, last year's All-Star game, right? Salvi, Bobby, Judge, all out there.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on location right now. We are outside Kauffman Stadium getting ready for Jack Caglione Day at the K. Vern, man, really appreciate you stopping by.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Coming up on the other side, today has the makings of being a perfect day at the ballpark. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive. All right. We have some important things to get into. I also want to tell you guys how important I think today is. Question number one, is 99 a good number? That's what number Aaron Judge wears. He wears 99. This is the thing. I think you can wear 99, but it's like the ultimate, I know I'm really good. Michael Massey can't wear 99. I would look at Michael Massey like, you're ridiculous. Why are you, pick a reg, wear 12. 13. That's the kind of number you wear if you're Michael Massey. If you're People are just going to start yelling Rod Chalk at me. That's can you tell them not to bother me? You can't wear those kind of numbers if you're MJ Melendez. Mm-mm. But when you know you're going to the Hall of Fame, when you know you're the best hitter in baseball, I know you can wear 99. 99 is it's a select few people that can wear the number 99.
So here's the thing. I agree with you on the whole. You got to be good. But I think, and I don't know this, I've never sat down and talked to Aaron Judge, but I'm guessing if you talk to Aaron Judge, one of the reasons he wears 99, nothing else is available in New York. He can't wear one, he can't wear two, he can't wear three, he can't wear four, he can't wear five, he can't wear six, he can't wear seven, can't wear nine. I don't think he can wear 10. What if you are a Yankee, you're automatically in a tough spot to pick a number. You either are picking something goofy or you're going way off the beaten path. So I think he had to go 99.
So you're saying Judge maybe wanted to wear nine.
Maybe wanted nine.
But he can't wear nine because it's retired.
That's my guess.
So you're like, hey, I'm going to go with the double nines. I'm going to rock the double. The double.
That
Someone
is my
on
guess.
The text line also makes a good point. You got to also be a bigger person.
Correct.
You can't be 99 and play shortstop. Mm-mm. You got to play like first base or outfield.
DH,
if you're gonna wear 99.
If Barry Bonds in his prime had wore 99, that's cool, man. You're good. You can't be Kyle Isbell. Kyle Isbell's a good player. He's playing good baseball this year. You can't be a 5'10 center fielder weighing a 190 wearing 99. Yeah. No, thank you.
Someone on the text line says, "C-Dot, you don't have to dunk on my childhood number like that." I'm not hating on number 12. I'm just saying is there's some numbers that you wear. There's just a certain expectation that comes with it. Like if you're in, like if you play wide receiver, you wear like 82. I think you can ball a little bit.
Really, 82 would be that pick for
you. Yeah, I think you can ball if you wear 82, 88, 84. I look at you like, hey, you got a chance at actually being kind of decent. If you're a wide receiver and you wear 31, hey, you're not that good. I already know you're not that good.
I actually think there's like to get too in the weeds of your 82 pick. I think if you're a wide receiver and you're not wearing something in the teens, I think you stink. I think you're not great.
That's but you got to hold on. You
and that's new school.
Yeah,
like
you got to look at
Justin Jefferson
now.
Yeah, you're right. When we were kids, no. If you were 17 a wide out, you stunk.
Yeah, you're terrible.
you're not making the roster
yeah,
out of camp.
Terrible.
But if you are 17 now, you're Devontae Adams, you're Cooper Kupp in the teens, you're Tyreek Hill at 10, you're Justin Jefferson wearing 18. You can ball. If Justin Jefferson wore 83, I would think that guy's going to be terrible. He's going to be no good.
And
83.
I'm with you. You can also tell by if you play on the D-line.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell if you're going to be good by what number you pick. You know, if you play D-line, 92 is a great number to have. A 95, a 97. You got to pick the right number if you're on the D-line. You're wearing 71. You're not a pass rusher. You're not getting to the other team's quarterback at 71. You can't make me think you're getting there.
I also think, and this is very old man taking me, I don't like in college football when the edge rusher is wearing like six. I'm like, stop it.
No, I will say this. If you're an edge rusher and you wear six, you got to be a dog.
You got to be one of the Bosa brothers.
You got to be a dog.
You can't be like, who's just a good pass rusher in college? Not a great. You can't be like a nine sack guy at Missouri. You got to be a guy who's like, oh, I'm going to put 18 up. Watch this in 12 games. Like, I'm about to cook. You can't just be, oh, I'm solid. I'm a good fifth round pick. No, no, no. You better be something special.
All right, let me ask you this question because you kind of copied me a little bit. You saw me put in for the tickets, and then you were like, oh, well, I guess I now want to go to the Royals game. When I was committed to coming to this game, I didn't need Jack Caglione Day to come to the game.
You didn't.
I love baseball. The audience knows that. I'm a baseball guy through and through. I was going to be out here. I got my old school scorebook. I got my peanuts and my Cracker Jack. I was going to be out here at the game. You saw Jack Caglione was going to be here, and then you hopped on the wave, and now you want to go to the Royals game.
So two things. One, have you ever actually kept score in a baseball game? I've done it.
I have. A long time ago.
It's something I think – I'm not saying do it every time. That's too much. But you got to do it once. There's something enjoyable about doing it once. Second, it's not Jack Caglione. It's work. If I'm going to be out here from 12:45, we get out here ready for the show, until 5:30, it feels goofy to break down the gear and then drive out of the parking lot to go home. I'm going to turn down Noah Cameron versus Max Fried, Jack Caglione, Bobby Witt, just because why? I don't have and I'm already out here. It's not like, oh, it's so far away. I'm here. I'm in person. So I did ski in your wake a little bit.
Yeah, of course
a little
did.
Bit.
Of course you did. You copied me, and that's perfectly fine.
I didn't have the ticket fairy hookup.
All right.
I had to pay like a person.
All right. Can we – should have asked me. You should have got tickets when I got tickets. You should have asked me. I would have hooked you up. I had an extra two pair. I'd have gave them to you. I'd have gave you my extra two tickets if you had told me that you wanted to go to the game. But, no, you asked too late. Now you got to pay. All right. How would you rank why you're here? We agree. Number one is the home debut with Jack Caglione.
Correct.
That's why I'm here, right?
Mm-hmm.
What part of it is Yankees in town, so we got pitching matchup. Mm-hmm. We have Noah Cameron going up against Max Fried. You have Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge, mm-hmm. two of the five best players
in
baseball.
The two best players in the AL last year. They were 1-2 in the MVP voting.
And you also have a rematch of last year's postseason. Now, mm-hmm. I was here last year. I was at the last Royals game of the season last year, and I saw the Yankees rip out my heart last year. So I want a little bit of revenge. That's why I'm going to the game today. If Jack Caglione is number one, why else are you at the game today? Why else do you think people are here?
I think the correct answer for what people should say is going to be Bobby Witt and Aaron Judge. Now, if you want to say Bobby because he's the hometown guy and then Judge is three, yes. There are two superstars in the sport playing in your town. That should be reason two and three. But I think if you polled 100 people, if you went around, walked around lot B and lot D and all these lots and said, hey, outside of Jack Caglione, why are you here tonight? I think the second most popular answer is going to be the Yankees are in town. I think the Yankees are always a draw. I think the Royals could be the 2023 Royals, which, you know, fought like hell just to get the 54 wins. The Yankees just bring out the casual. They bring out they bring their own caravan of fans. They bring the old school, the new school. There's just something about the Yankees that brings people to the park. So I think the answer should be Bobby and Aaron. I think the actual answer is going to be the New York Yankees are in town.
Yeah, I think that Aaron Judge is here, and maybe it just kind of goes to what we were talking about, how you said, like, baseball players just aren't as famous as it feels like they were.
They should be more famous, but I
agree. The best offensive player since Barry Bonds is in attendance today.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few players that move the needle in baseball games. A few guys that move the needle that will get you to buy a ticket. Shohei is one of those kind of guys. If Shohei was pitching, you would see an uptick in attendance. If Shohei's just here and he's hitting fourth, there is an uptick. I think that Aaron Judge is kind of one of those players. He's a guy that you know, 5-10 years from now, you can say, I saw Aaron Judge hit a home run. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to end up being that kind of player. Coming up at the top of the hour, we have a crazy attendance stat to give you guys. We also are going to hear from J.J. Piccolo. We're also going to hear from Jack Caglione as we get you ready for Jack Caglione Day at Kauffman Stadium. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.